Hello, welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day.
And welcome, seekers, to podcast number 100 of God Beyond the Bible, the podcast made by seekers and for seekers. And we really hope y'all are enjoying our new format of single segment 15 to 20 minute episodes. Now, we had a question that we received, and I think we're going to kind of discuss it. Dad's got a little bit of an answer, so go ahead.
Okay, yeah, and this is going out to, and we appreciate all of your little comments and questions. Yes. And all that stuff. But this is one I thought we ought to address. And I want to say to Natalie that we record these four at a time, a month at a time. Mm-hmm. So it's taken me this long to get back to you. So anyway, I want to read what Natalie wrote. I just finished listening to the podcast, Christianity versus Spirituality. It was so relieving to hear that other people felt closer to God before they went to church. And I think she's referring to when I said that when I was a kid, I didn't have any question about mm-hmm. my relationship with God. And then I got in church, and then I started to question everything. Mm-hmm. I had to, because everything I was told, okay. Anyway, while listening to the episode, I thought of one or two topics for discussion. Number one, how should seekers study the Bible? Is it the only thing they should study? Should they study other spiritual texts, but put the Bible as the authority over all the other texts? Well, all I can do is give you an opinion, Natalie, and my opinion is this. I have this problem about making the Bible divine. Mm-hmm. The Bible is a spiritual text. It's a wonderful thing to look at, but we always have to realize, as long as we read the Bible, understanding that it came from men who felt inspired, mm-hmm. but they were still men. They were still people. They were still human beings. They had frailties, and they were interpreting God according to the age they lived in and how they saw God. So just always keep that in mind. Yeah.
And there are still people inspired to this day inspired to write something.
But let me just give you some other. I enjoy the Tao Te Ching, which is spelled T-A-O, T-E, is that right? T-A-O-T-E-C-H-I-N-G. Very, very inspiring. And I like listening to all of them. And I, be honest with you, it's hard for us as Christians to give anything else equal ground that we give the Bible, but there are a lot of Coptic texts out there. The Gospel of Thomas, I listen to it a lot. I read it a lot. I don't understand a lot of it, but I read it a lot. But yeah, the main thing is don't get to thinking that you're doing something wrong if you read an inspiring poem and you say, hey, that really, because I've read poems that inspire me more than parts of the Bible do.
Well,
I'm just going to say that.
I would say, you know, He's a big God. Don't limit Him to anything.
I think He's inspired all of these. Anything that inspires us is inspired by Him.
Yes.
The second part of the question is, how do the fruits of the Spirit apply to the seekers? Are they something we seek, something we obtain, or something we grow into? Are they daily practice? Or could they be considered a form of worship for seekers and Christians? And I think what Natalie's probably referring to, I know one of the places is the book of Galatians. Just pause with me while I'm opening this up. Okay, Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, depends on what translation you listen to, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control against such things. Well, I left out faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control against such things. There is no law. And of course, that's Paul writing to the church at Galatia who were getting back into the law. They were going back into legalism, and he was warning them about legalism, and he was telling about the fruit of the Spirit. Before we really think about the fruit of the Spirit, let's think about what we're saying there. What is fruit?
Fruit is something that ripens.
Something bears. That's been grown. Something that bears. Fruit is I might quit putting my elbows on the table because you can hear that. Fruit is something that, if you think of a fruit tree, the fruit is new life in that. And the fruit is, it's hard to put this, it's a cycle. It's circular. The tree produces the fruit. The fruit produces a plant. The plant produces another tree. That tree produces fruit. Right. So fruit is the result of something.
Yes.
But it also has a purpose. The fruit of the Spirit. And what we're talking about here is, I think this is Spirit. Well, let's think about that for a moment. Spirit is, according to one place in writer in the Bible, I think it was Paul, that said the Spirit is like, maybe it was John, but said the Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know how it gets there, but we can feel the results of it. Now, wind is not the energy itself. Wind is produced by different temperatures and going over the ocean. We all know that. It's not the energy itself, but it's an energy produced. So is the Spirit. The divine produces a spirit. And that spirit is something that we just need to realize that we have, something we utilize. And look at those fruits of the Spirit that Paul talked about. Number one was love. Then he named kindness and he named faithfulness and tolerance and all of these things, moderation and all of these things that he mentioned in there. And he said, against those things, there is no law. What he was really saying to us is it's really, we don't think it is. We've been told in our Christian faith that, but it is natural for us to love, to be tolerant, to do all that.
Yes.
But we've been told that we can't tolerate these people. We can't love these people. But anyway, make the long story short. Yes. Utilize the Spirit, but realize that those fruits of the Spirit, that Spirit is an energy, and that's from the divine, and it comes to us, and then we're able to love, and we're able to do all these things, and it produces those things. Spirit doesn't produce confusion. It doesn't produce hate. It doesn't divide us. It brings us together in unity. So let's just remember that, because a lot of things that are being called the Spirit are not the Spirit. But yeah, as far as pursuing it, I think we need to just be open and let it work in us.
I think so. I see it as sort of, I thought the, you know, fruit tree was a great explanation on it, because I see it as kind of a cyclic, self-fulfilling. When you're seeking the Spirit and you really start getting that true connection to the divine, whatever you want to call it, then you start having this extreme tolerance and love for your fellow man and all of these other things, which leads you back into more of a connection with the divine, and it sort of just grows and grows.
And you have to remember, you don't have to pursue. I don't really chase, because that gives you the implication that it's out there somewhere away from you, and you have to get
We don't have to chase the wind.
Yeah.
No. The wind comes.
That's right.
The wind just comes, and we don't know where it comes from, and we don't have to know where it comes from, but it does serve a purpose, and it serves a great purpose. We wouldn't even have weather patterns if it wasn't for wind. So think Very about true. That. Okay, I hope, Natalie, that helps a little. And we will devote maybe an episode or two later to these topics.
Yeah.
But I thought
we just didn't want you to think you were being ignored.
I wanted to
out
acknowledge
there.
That we got that. And I hope with all of my stammering and stuff that I said something there. But but the main thing, your question about the Bible's wonderful, but it is not the final authority or the only authority on spiritual things.
Very true.
And as far as the Spirit, just let that love that's in you, let that thing that you know is right. Yeah. Those things that you know are right. Do those things that you know are right, because you know that by the Spirit. That's how you know it.
All right.
Okay, we're ready for quote of the week now. So I'm not apologizing for, but it may take us a few minutes over on this first episode. Okay.
Okay, so our quote this week comes from Nikola Tesla. If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration.
And, you know, our last four episodes were on discovering ourselves or our personal I am. And we hope you guys really enjoyed those. So today's topic is going to be the science of energy, frequency, and vibration, and its role in nature and in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just start out by discussing how some believe that everything is energy. Have you ever heard that concept?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everything is purely energy. Even the things we can touch and hold, the things we can detect with our natural senses. This is a common belief in both the scientific community and the spiritual community as well, that everything is energy. And it's kind of like the Big Bang thing. There was an energy that said, you know, this mm-hmm. is a common belief, even in science and in spirituality.
They're still seeking that first crumb of energy.
Where was that energy? What caused the bang? Yeah, mm-hmm. where's the energy? And I think science and spirituality is getting closer together. Maybe not mm-hmm. religion, but spirituality is getting closer together, realizing that if everything is energy, it just took energy to start all this. Yeah. But that energy had to be here first.
Right.
Okay.
Well, this idea comes from the fact that the universe is in constant motion. Planets are in motion around a star. Galaxies are in motion in space. And on the tiniest scale, atoms, molecules, and even the cells that make up our body follow that same pattern with their nucleus and orbiting neutrons, protons, electrons, etc.
I saw Tabby's eyes glaze over when
you
said science.
Yeah, you know, you say science and I just kind of...
Yeah, but if you think about it, that's the largest scale, the universe... Mm-hmm. And then the tiniest scale,
it's very true,
still operate the same way.
I think it
they're
was...
in motion, and they are in motion. Even the atoms in a rock, the molecules in a rock, are in motion.
I think it was it Einstein that said, "In the deepest chaos of nature is the most order," or something to that
right.
effect.
Yes. And he understood this concept. Tracy, I think you're four.
I'm sorry about that. So let's give an example. Scientists have discovered that stars or suns that have planets that orbit them tend to wobble as one of their orbiting planets pass near them. And in the same way, an atom or cell will actually wobble or vibrate to the movement of its components orbiting its nucleus.
Now, this is actually how we have discovered that there are other stars with planets orbiting them.
Yes.
We can't always get in the right angle to see the planet pass between us and the star.
But we can see
the wobble. We can mm-hmm. see. Actually, our sun wobbles every time one of the planets goes around our sun. Mm-hmm. Now, think of this. This is very slow. Think of how long it takes for that little bit of wobble, that little bit. Now, reduce that down to a cell and think of how fast everything's mm-hmm. vibrating around that, moving in that cell. And that's all we're trying to make here. In our limited time today, we want to apply this concept to our body and how our bodies are really a mass of moving objects that are vibrating at certain frequencies.
If we haven't done a great deal of research on frequency, to put it simply, it is a wave produced by energy. If you drop a small pebble into a pool of water, you'll see ripples radiating out from the point of the pebble meeting the surface of the water, which is the energy of the moving pebble meeting the surface. If we throw a larger stone in, the energy released is greater, and ripples or waves are in a pattern or frequency that are in accordance to the energy released.
Now, to keep this from sounding too much like a science lesson, just keep this in mind because this is important. If everything vibrates, it's because there's energy being released. There's mm-hmm. energy behind it. And my belief is there's divine energy behind everything.
Yeah.
Well, and this is something that's really interesting to me because when we talk about frequency and stuff, we really don't consider that it's really permeated in even our Western culture. I mean, have you guys really thought about some of the, how often do you say I'm sending you good vibes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or what's the buzz about this new product?
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Yeah. That person really just, you know, that person really put off a bad vibe. It really has permeated our culture because it is scientific fact and we really don't even...
And we promise you this is going somewhere, so stay with us and follow the episode.
Okay, so most of us have bobbed up and down in a pool of water.
We used to do that in our pool, you know.
Oh, yeah, we do it. I used to do it in the bathtub when I was little, you know. So we've noticed that for the waves we produce to have the maximum effect, we have to bob up and down in a set pattern to maximize the waves going out. And the longer we continue to bob up and down, the more intense the waves get. What happens if we get out of time in the bobbing process, if we break that pattern? It's chaos.
Yeah.
There's a disturbance in the wave motion, And some even start canceling out the other waves. There's no harmony in the frequency of the waves. And then you get in trouble because you're knocking all the water out of the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. And or if you go hard enough, it'll knock all the water out. But usually what it'll do is it'll stop. We used to do that with the kids in the pool. We'd all get to bobbing up and down. And then and then eventually, if you get out of time, people get out of time, it just... It's just a chaotic mess. Okay. We hear sounds based on this principle. I want to say something about sound. I didn't realize this until I think it was Alan Watts that I heard saying this. He said, we don't hear sound. We hear the pauses in between the vibration of sound. That's the only way. He said if sound was constant, we couldn't hear it.
Well, isn't that interesting? I never really thought of that.
All right. Think of it like a guitar string. Pluck it and it's vibrating. But what you're hearing is the pause when it reaches the middle. That's what causes you to be able to hear the sound because your eardrum has to return to
center.
Oh, wow.
For it to vibrate, it has to, and for you to sense that. I just thought I'd throw that out there. We hear sounds based on this principle. All sound is a vibration of airwaves. These airwaves are no different than the ripples on the surface of a pool. The more energy exerted or applied, the stronger the wave. The loudest sounds have the most energy behind them. But we are limited on the range of frequencies we can detect with our human ear. Some waves or frequencies are below our range of hearing and others are far above.
I'll tell you something fun to do. Try the superhuman hearing test on YouTube. Put on a pair of headphones and sit there and go through it. Mm-hmm. And it's very peculiar because before it comes into the human hearing range, you start feeling the sound. And then
on the low end,
on the low end, you can feel it.
That'll fit with
but
what
you can't physically
that'll fit with
hear
what
it.
Tesla believed, and we'll talk about that in later episode.
So, how does this apply to us physically, emotionally, and even spiritually? Remember the cells that are in motion? Research has shown that each of us vibrate at different frequencies. Have you ever seen someone break a wine glass with their voice? If you notice, the person thumps the glass and listens for the tone or the frequency, and then they tune their voice to that frequency. And just like bobbing in the pool, the frequency of the glass is amplified until the energy is so great that the atoms and molecules separate, just like the water going over the side of the pool.
So I have to throw this out there. Here's a fun scientific tip. Do you guys know that most of your body is made up of empty space? It's the vibration. Yeah, I heard
sorry.
That.
Yeah.
It is the vibration of the atoms and the molecules that make your body the size that it is. And make it. Yeah. If you shrunk the human body down, took every bit of extra space out, you would be about the size of a speck of dust.
Seriously?
Yes. Hmm. It would be a very dense, very heavy speck of dust. But if you took all of the air and the excess space out and
because
didn't vibrate.
If there's motion, there has to be space.
Yes. Yeah.
Even in the cells, there's space in the cells.
You know, our body has a frequency that's just like the wine glass. It's and different glasses have different frequencies and different bodies have different frequencies. And this used to be only a theory, but it's now become science. And if you guys don't believe that, you can do some research on the Rife machine from the 1920s and 30s. And I thought it was interesting. Steve and I always watch documentaries. That's like our favorite thing to do. And a couple of nights ago, we happened to be watching a documentary where the military was attempting to create a machine that would weaponize vibration.
Well, they've actually done that.
And, well, this one they were designing to essentially be able to disintegrate any human target just by matching the vibration of their body. Wow. And they would just disintegrate to nothing.
Yeah. They've actually got that in law enforcement and stuff now. They've actually got large speakers that they can put up when they want to control a crowd, and they put out certain vibrations on a certain wavelength, and it'll make the people just start, I hope you're not eating breakfast, they'll start throwing up, and they'll start, because it'll just make them deathly sick. They can't stand
remember?
It. But they really can't hear it. In a lot of cases, it's a frequency they can't hear.
Do you remember when Steve got in the national championship stereo competition truck? And for one thing, you don't realize it, but the bass is so deep on those that they call it sub-ohm bass. And you don't hear it, but you can feel the pressure and you feel the ground vibrate. And when my husband was in this truck, he couldn't breathe because the bass was hitting so fast, mm-hmm. it was compressing his chest. So that was free for you.
Back in his day, Reif's theory, and I want to call it a theory because I'm not supporting the Reif machine.
Right.
The Reif's theory was at best considered pseudoscience, and for the most part considered snake oil by the scientific community. However, recent studies combined with advanced technology seem to support the theory as true science. The scientific community, much like the religious community, are not very flexible when it comes to new or unusual ideas that challenge the norm. And we saw that combined with Galileo, you know. Let me talk about the Reif deal just a little bit, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm somehow promoting. Because, guys, there's all kinds of mess out there that people are selling, for calling it the Reif machine and all that. But let me give you a little background. His name was Royal Raymond Reif. He was born in 1888, died in 1971. He developed this Reif machine in the 1930s, and it was based on what we're talking about. He believed that you could heal the body if you got it back in harmony. He believed that the body would get out of harmony with itself, and the vibrations would be wrong and get out of harmony. He died penniless, and he was embittered in 1971, believing that the American Medical Association conspired to prohibit the research on this, or inhibit the research that he was trying to do. He believed he had a true theory. He never did claim that he developed a machine completely that was functional, even though he did develop the Reif machine.
Right.
All right, but just to give you some caution here, because don't jump online, start buying Reif machines. You know, in 1987, Barney Liner wrote a book called The Cancer Cure That Worked. So, you know, there's so much out there.
Yes.
That, and he was based on the Reif machine. In 2009, the U.S. court convicted James Folsom on 26 counts of felony fraud for the sale of Reif devices. He called them Naturetronics, AstroPulse, BioSolutions, Energy Wellness, Global Wellness. Some of those are still around today. Mm-hmm. When they tore into them, they consisted not much more than a 9-volt battery and a few pieces of copper wire. But anyway, Reif made, but let's go back to Reif before we just put him out as pseudoscience, or science. Reif made legitimate advancements in a microscope, being able to record organisms moving under a microscope, pictures of microbes under a microscope. And he was doing this in an attempt. Actually, this is something that was a side effect. He was wanting to prove that his machine could work and would work on certain cells and certain would cancer cells and things like that. That's why he developed, but he never could get the support that he wanted. So anyway.
So another one to throw in with that. Do you guys, are you familiar with Curlian photography?
Yes, Curian.
Yes,
Curian, or I, so, oh, I, is, I don't know. You may be.
I don't know. I tend to pronounce things wrong, but it's Kirlian photography.
Well, Curian, yeah, that is right.
So it's disputed, much like the Reif machine, and it was done in the 1930s.
I've seen
to
these
the
experiments done though.
Yes, and it films the energy around objects. One of my favorite ones to watch is they took a leaf and they put it on this, and it's essentially like a special exposure of photography, similar to like an X-ray.
But what it does, it absorbs the energy.
Uh-huh.
Absorbs the energy.
And what they did is they cut this leaf in half and pulled half of it off and took another picture. And you could watch the edge of the leaf. You could still see the outline of where the leaf had been cut off, and you can watch it slowly shrink.
But it still was putting out energy as though it was the whole leaf.
Neat.
It was still, and you can actually see that. They did the research on that. I don't know.
So back to the body and frequency and vibration. There are those whose research has proven that when the body is sick, it's not in its proper vibration or frequency. And much like bobbing up and down in the pool in random motion, not producing synchronized waves, but just chaotic turbulence on the surface of the water.
And there's debate on whether the disturbance of the body's frequency causes sickness, or if the sickness causes the disturbance in the body's frequency and harmony. Mm-hmm. And this might just be one of those cyclic sort of
things. It could be, yeah.
Things. You know, it's accepted science, scientific fact, that exposing our body to extreme radio waves like microwaves, magnetic waves, X-rays, and a myriad of other frequencies will affect cellular development and cause mutations like cancer. Is this within itself not evidence of some basis for things like Rife's theory?
Well, and I got to looking, and you know, MRIs and stuff, those are things that use energy to...
And they're at a frequency, and certain
We are okay with that, but then on the other spectrum...
Well, have you ever watched when they do a dental x-ray on you what everyone else does?
You know, the room.
Yeah.
They toss a vest on you, stick this thing to your mouth, and then they run out of the room.
Well, and let me go and say something about all these radio waves, extraneous waves that are out there in the atmosphere, in this room right now with us right now.
Yes.
There are people that claim, I don't know if you've done any research on this, they claim they can sense that. It gives them headaches. It gives mm-hmm. them migraines. Now, another thing to look at too, there are zones. There's one in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And there's one in the eastern United States.
Around Virginia somewhere.
Yeah, that is a frequency-free zone. Mm-hmm. In other words, you can't pick up a radio signal. You can't pick... Now, it's illegal. It's intentional. The one in the United States is intentional. It's illegal for you to take a cell phone to that place.
And they will find you if you turn on a cell phone.
Yes, they monitor it all the time. And you turn on any device that emits frequency and they come and... Now, I don't know what that research is about. I don't know why they're doing that.
I can tell you. I actually know. This was another documentary I watched the other night. It is because they have a special radio telescope there. But this radio telescope doesn't put out waves. It receives them. So anything within like a 10 or 15 mile radius.
Has to be. There can't be any transmitting of any kind of frequency disturbance of any kind. But what about, you know, what about the one in Mexico that's unexplainable?
That one, yeah, they have no idea what caused it. It's
natural. Instruments on planes don't work when they fly over it. Your cell phone, nothing works there. They think it's some phenomena in the earth, maybe in magnetic interference. And then we got to talk about, what about the earth's own magnetic waves and signals and frequencies that the earth itself vibrates at a certain frequency? And okay, because of the snub of the scientific community, might we be missing out on a technology that could offer healing of almost every disease? Now, due to the restraints of time, we must continue this topic next week. But in the meantime, do some research on frequency healing. And as always, may God's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on, in, and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.